You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's top boutique manager in 2023. With me today from Brenthurst Wealth is Aidan Freswick. And there's an interesting piece he sent me, and it starts like this. Very lyrical, by the way, and you'll see why. Today, we'll unlock the secrets to a successful retirement by drawing on the wisdom of experienced retirees themselves. They've been there, they've done that, and are here to share their top tips on everything from financial security to finding fulfillment in your golden years. So whether you're just starting to think about retirement or are already counting down the days, get ready to learn from those who have navigated this exciting transition. Nice little piece there. I was just thinking that if you ever leave Brenthurst Wealth, which I hope you don't, you could go into copywriting for a really big insurance company and get paid handsomely as well.
Good afternoon, Lindsay, and thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
I thought today let's, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, sharing some views from, you know, retirees that I've been able to engage with over the last couple of years. You know, that, like you said, they've been there, they've done that, and who better to hear from than the horse's mouth? You know, sharing some tips with that I've gathered from these retirees. And I think let's discuss it. It's, you know, just more, you know, less technical today. You know, we normally talk about the benefit of products and all of those things, but I think it's just sometimes good to share some tips to help those because, you know, like, you know, it can be quite daunting when you're thinking about approaching retirement and all of those things. So let's unpack some of the wisdom from those who've done it before.
Very good. And the first point that you put to these people is start early and save consistently. Now, early can be interpreted in many ways. Early can be the college graduate, university graduate that leaves university at 22 or 23, gets a very good high-paying job and has money aside, or rather money surplus to requirements. So he or she puts that aside. Starting early could be when you're 45 because you've been in a day job all the time, which didn't pay that well, but suddenly you become an entrepreneur and making a bit of money. So you start when you're 45. I think the point is just start, Aidan.
Quite correct, Lindsay. And like you've pointed out, there's, you know, a lot of investors out there that have very diverse backgrounds and individual circumstances. So early could be, like you said, when you're 45 and all of a sudden you've got this huge change in your financial affordability, or you are a college graduate and you sort of hit the ground running quite high from the get-go. But early is as early as you actually can. You know, starting to put money away and getting into the savings habit is pretty much the discipline that that this particular, you know, tip that I'm trying to share is sort of emphasizing, because the power of compounding interest doesn't happen over 1 or 2 or 5 years. It happens over 10, 15, 20 years. So the sooner you start saving, and saving consistently, should I stress, is actually the benefit of starting early. And this is why you should start early, so that even if it's small and insignificant amount that it might seem today, it adds up to quite a significant lump sum at the end of the day, especially over 10, 15, 20 years.
If when you start saving, you've only got, say, 1,000 rand surplus to requirements, the phrase I used before, is it the best thing to do if you're an ill-disciplined person like I am? To go onto your banking app and say, right, this is the debit order I want every single month from my current account to whatever financial services company that you choose, or put it into a deposit account at the same bank, something like that. That's quite good discipline, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the discipline, like you've said, I mean, you know, just signing a simple debit order is actually the start to all of these things. But obviously selecting which product to go into is of course best guided with a financial advisor, you know, but getting that debit order and forgetting about it is the best way to start.
Second point, live below your means. You get a job, you're just out of college, you're intelligent, but you're still a little bit raw, a little less streetwise than you will be in 10 years' time. You think, right, I've got this job now, I'm going to take my partner to Mauritius for Christmas, and off you go. You get a credit card and you get all sorts of things in place because you're confident you've got money coming in. But that's not right. You're living below your means. You're living above your means, excuse me. And suddenly, before you know it, debt starts piling up. I mean, compound interest starts piling up as well, but debt also starts piling up because people charge you for debt, as we all know. So don't do it. Just stay stable for a while.
Indeed. Also, another, you know, a thing that happens that you don't realize is, especially when you have a change in lifestyle or particularly income, you know, you should actually start saving more. So I'll give you an example. Let's say if earning a certain amount of time for 5 years, or sorry, earning a certain amount of money for, let's say, 5 years, and all of a sudden you get a huge paycheck increase, and then, you know, automatically your expenses and your lifestyle shouldn't follow suit. You know, you've been living the same way for 5 years or 3 or 5 years, and immediately when you get a increase in earnings, one should start applying that discipline and actually saving a little bit more. But like you pointed out, living below your means and not necessarily above your means is when you get into the debt trap, which is very difficult to get out for some, especially if you don't have, you know, higher earnings potentials, especially longer term. So it can be quite detrimental to your overall plan. So that was the second point, Lindsay. The third point that I wanted to mention was, you know, to embrace diversification. And to embrace diversification, you know, in simple terms to understand is, basically, don't put all your eggs in one basket. This was one of the smart tips that was shared by many retirees over many years, and especially by diversifying your investments and your portfolio and your savings. You know, you get access to different asset classes and you actually mitigate some risk over time. You don't see it, but, you know, anything can happen to your single basket if you're relying on one only. So embracing diversification is quite important as well, to make sure that you spread your risk over multiple asset classes and spread that risk over different products as well.
Even within asset classes, you can spread your risk, because there might be some whiz kid that's come out. He's an IT professional now, and he recognizes, for example, the AI trend when it first started over 2 years ago now, and says, yes, right, I want to have this company, this company, this company, and this one on the fringes. And you say, well, yeah, that's all very well, but what if it doesn't happen? What if they peak too soon because of the froth on the top of their share price? You've got to have some other things as well, some value stocks. So diversification mitigates losses in the one class that you like, as far as I can see.
Indeed. And also, there are different economic cycles that, you know, play a part in how different assets perform. And I think it's very difficult to navigate, but with guidance of a professional advisor, we can help you unpack and unlock those uncertainties, as we say.
Don't panic sell. I can imagine that people, when COVID was first revealed and it started to take a grip on not only the markets, but more importantly, society, I wonder how many people actually said, no, that's it, I'm out. This is with us for a long time, so I'm getting out. Not the right decision, I don't think.
You know, Lindsay, I think this is probably the most detrimental thing that you can do to your overall plan if you sell at the wrong time. And I mean, let's just go back 4 years ago. I mean, it sounds quite, you know, it seems like just yesterday when COVID first hit us in, yes, 2020. I mean, it's actually 4 years ago. But I mean, that was a reason to sell, because, I mean, the markets fell 10-15%. And then you had, you know, just 2 years ago, with the whole, you know, the interest rates rising in the US and the war broke out. I mean, just in the short space of 4 years, there were two occasions where you could have actually sold your entire portfolio. But subsequently, what has happened out of those two major events was phenomenal bull markets that followed through after that. So it just shows you that there will always be a reason to sell your portfolio, because there will always be these geopolitical risks, or, you know, financial market risk or asset risks, or whatever the case might be. But, you know, sticking to the overall plan, especially a long-term plan, one shouldn't just actually sell based on emotions. You need to look at the underlying fundamentals and sometimes ignore the headlines, as difficult as it could sound.
Yeah, and if anyone shows resistance to this theory, I would say, as if I were a financial advisor, I would get a big graph out. I'd say, well, have a look at this. This is the S&P 500 over the last 50 years or something, whatever time period it is. And now I would point out, see that little blip on the chart there? Oh, that was COVID. Or see this little blip on the chart there, slightly bigger? That was the 1987 crash. And look where we are now. It's a very, very powerful tool, having that big long-term graph in front of your prospective client. Know your risk tolerance. You mean How much can you bear, in other words?
Of course. So, you know, I always advise this to clients because you don't want to be in an investment solution where it keeps you up at night. So that's the best way to explain it. Almost know what level of risk you are able to handle, because like you said, things get lumpy sometimes, especially when you're taking on, you know, going into the markets and taking on some market risk. You know, if you feel uncomfortable with any downside or any potential short-term underperformance or loss, so to say, then we need to put together something that will make you feel comfortable. And that's when you need to know your risk tolerance, because obviously you don't want to be kept up all night because, you know, you're in a portfolio that's not aligned with your risk tolerance. But a financial advisor will be able to identify what your risk tolerance is, in case you're not able to determine it yourself. So it's very important to know your risk tolerance, because you don't want to be kept up all night just because you need to be invested and having some savings.
Quite right. Avoid get rich quick schemes. Now, I've got to personalize this now. There was a historical drama on British television. It was a huge success. And the owner of this estate, he'd lost a bit of money in Canadian railways or something like that. And he said, and he was trying to recoup his losses. And he said, well, there's this chap called Charles Ponzi who seems to be offering 20% a month or whatever the figure was. That is the sort of thing that draws in people who are not financially responsible.
Of course. And also sometimes, you know, you're not always astute to actually see these things before they come. But I've seen a lot of these over the last couple of years, and it's actually been quite popular, these get-rich quick schemes. And, you know, when it sounds too good to be true, it normally is. And I've had many, many investors come across my desk and saying, what do I think about this? And what do I think about that? And when you look at how money is made, or if you can't understand how the money is made, all these get rich quick schemes, then, you know, one should actually stay away from that, because you can potentially lose your entire nest egg. Because, Lindsay, let's face it, I mean, it's a very tough economic time globally, and you know, people want to sort of, or they're actually vulnerable because they're looking for ways to make a little bit of extra money, sometimes just to get by, or sometimes just because for the sake of greed, for the sake of not being patient of a long-term plan. And generally these get-rich-quick schemes, you know, promises the world, but, you know, always fails to deliver. So I would avoid them entirely.
Quite right. If it seems too good to be true, then it is, or usually is. So quite right. Just shunt them aside. Let someone else make money, and good luck to them, and lose it. Consider tax implications. I think you can't avoid tax, and you shouldn't avoid tax, but you can be tax smart, I think.
You can. And there's many ways of being tax smart. But the point that I want to make here is, you know, taxes can sometimes significantly impact your actual retirement savings to a point of, you know, we don't always measure after tax returns. We're always saying, you know, we get 10% per annum, or we're making 12% per annum. But we're not considering, is that still subject to tax? Is that after tax when we're quoting those performance figures? So what I'm getting to is, there are many mechanisms to save for retirement that can also be tax efficient, so that you can make sure you get the best after tax return. So that was basically, you know, some of the top tips from retirees that I've been speaking to over the last couple of years, and I've just formulated a little bit of a point summary. But I think the most meaningful one, Lindsay, was actually just to enjoy your retirement. And sometimes it's not always about the monetary aspect, although it is important because you want to provide income for the rest of your life. But, you know, you never need to, well, you should always remember that you need to enjoy life, and you need to have a meaningful retirement where you can spend time with the grandkids, spend time in, you know, for things that are important to you, travel the world a bit, spend time with your family, and enjoy life. I think that's a very, very, very good tip. And sometimes we're always looking at the money aspect, and we forget to enjoy life.
Very good. Very nice way to end. And thanks very much for this, because it's been very digestible. I think sometimes people say, oh my goodness, I've got a meeting with Aidan Freswick, and he's going to be bamboozling me with technical details. But this is exactly the opposite. So well done. Aidan, thank you very much for your time. Aidan Freswick is from Brenthurst Wealth in the Western Cape. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.